I think they're arranging the speaking schedule by age. That's convention. So I'm number two on the list here. Appreciated that message. You know, Jeremiah compared the people of his day to broken cisterns. And the interesting thing is that it was during revival. They weren't getting the message into their hearts. God was speaking and they weren't getting the message. Well, may it not be true of us. Let us hear what God is speaking to us in our day. This morning, I'd like to speak on a little verse that is being taken way out of context and distorted to mean something else. And I'm looking at the second part of Romans chapter 6 and verse 14b, which says, "Ye are not under the law, but under grace." And the implications that many are deriving from this little verse is that the new covenant excuses sin, tolerates sin, or grace excuses sin. This verse is being distorted to mean that sin is no longer sin. After all, what is sin? It's the transgression of the law. So if we're not under the law, then we can't be charged with any crime, with any sin. That's the implication that we're hearing in many places today. It seems to be quite a popular message. For example, if you are driving in an area where there's no speed limit, I don't know if those places still exist in this country. They used to. You could drive 120 miles an hour. But if there's no speed limit, you can't be charged with breaking the speed limit, or you can't be charged with breaking the law. But here's a verse that we hope to clarify today. Are we under the law or not? Well, let us first understand this. The Gentiles were never under the law to begin with. And in fact, this is what separated the Jew and Gentile, which partitioned the Jew and the Gentile, was the law of Moses. And so the Jews felt holier than others because they had the law, and the Gentiles were lawless. The Jews were under the law with its 613 regulations. I've never taken the time to count them up. I don't know if anybody else here has. But do you realize that the more rules and regulations that you have, the greater chances you have of breaking one of them? I mean, if you're in Singapore and you happen to spit your gum out on the street, get ready for a fine if you get caught. But the more rules there are, the greater chance you have of breaking them. But this was the Jews' attitude toward the Gentiles. We're holier than you. We have the law. You're lawless. You stay over there. We're over here. And the Gentiles, on the other hand, were subject to the law of conscience. They have to answer to God for their conscience, although many of them had their conscience seared because of the way that they lived. But they were going to be judged by the law of conscience. The Jews were subject to the law of Moses, and they were going to be judged by the law of Moses. Now, you take a look at the Roman church, pretty equally divided. It was like 50-50, 50% Jew, 50% Gentile. And one of the big problems in the early church concerned the Jewish convert who had never really severed from the law. They were living under both covenants. They believed in Christ. They were still trying to keep the 613 regulations of the law and trying to incorporate this into their newfound faith. And you can easily see this in Peter's life, can't you? I mean, here's Peter. He's not clear about his Gentile connection. He doesn't know whether it's safe or not to be eating with the Gentiles. You see Peter struggling with the dietary laws of the Old Testament there and the Acts. And so he's struggling with a religion that's passé. It's past tense. It's a religion that has ceased at the cross, but they had been steeped in this religion, and they were trying to drag it into their newfound faith, so they were trying to live under both covenants. And Paul compares this to the death of a spouse in Romans chapter 7. Covenant that's defunct. This covenant is over with. The vows that you made here are over with. And now you're free to be joined to another covenant. And not to feel guilty. This covenant is nailed to the cross. And now you need to embrace the new covenant. So, just looking at Romans chapter 7 for a minute. Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. Paul brings this out very clearly here. And who is he speaking to? Anyway, he's speaking to the Jews. It begins in 7:1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. Who is that? That's the Jews. How that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. And then dropping down to verse 6. But now are we delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So the former covenant is gone, it's passé, it's defunct, it's nailed to the cross. And now you can be joined and fully give yourself to another covenant, to the new covenant with no guilt. But, you know, they were steeped in the law. And so it was very difficult for them to break. They wanted to drag the old covenant into their newfound faith. Do you see the problem here? They're trying to live under both covenants. And then to compound the situation, some of the believing Jews were trying to impose the law of Moses upon the Gentile converts. And they were saying they could not be saved unless they were circumcised. Let's look at a few more verses here. Let's look at Acts 15:1. I want us to be clear on this because I tell you, you can't imagine how that this verse, we're not under the law, but grace, is being abused. And it's becoming very popular throughout the world. And it's the idea that we can't be charged with sin anymore because we're no longer under the law. Let's get to what Paul was really addressing here. In Acts 15:1, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. So these Jewish converts were coming down and saying, yes, we believe in Christ, but you have to be circumcised as well. And also in verse 5, and there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So they're living under both covenants, and they're trying to keep the 613 regulations of the law. And so they were missing the whole point of the new covenant, that we're not saved by fulfilling the 613 regulations of the law, but we're saved by God's grace. Amen? So this sect later became known as the Judaizers, ones who were trying to impose the law and circumcision on the Gentiles. They almost crippled the church in Galatia. They came down and they were telling these Gentile converts that they had to be circumcised, they had to keep the law of Moses in order to be saved. And, this was Paul's big address to the Galatians. And then they were also coming into Corinth. You see where Paul addresses this in the second letter, these false apostles that were coming down. Are they Hebrews? Yes, so am I. Are they the sons of Abraham? Yes, so am I. They're coming down and trying to impose something that was passé, defunct, on the Gentile converts. So the Jewish believers had a very difficult time separating from something that they had been raised with. And this is why Paul's emphasis on we're not under the law was uniquely directed to the Jews. They were who were still attached. And of course, also to the Gentiles who were getting duped into that mentality. Okay, let's look at another verse. Lots of verses. I like to use lots of verses because I don't have a lot to say in between. So I like to use a lot of scripture and make the point. Let's look at Acts 21. And Paul comes to Jerusalem here, and he's going to declare what God is doing amongst the Gentiles. Paul was uniquely sent to the Gentiles. In verse 21:19, and when he had saluted them, and this is Paul saluting the Jews, the brethren, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they had heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law, still hanging on to the law. And they are informed of thee, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after their customs. Well, this is exactly what Paul was trying to emphasize to the Christian Jews. We're not under the law anymore. We're not under this 613 regulations. The rituals have ceased. That covenant is gone. It's defunct. It's passé. And these Gentile believers were being seduced by the false apostles into thinking that they had to be circumcised, had to keep the law of Moses to be saved, which we looked at in Acts 15:1. Now, I want us to notice how Paul differentiates between those who know the law and those who do not know the law. So just a few more verses here, and the first one is in Romans 3:19. Because he differentiates between the group that knew the law and those who did not know the law. And so it begins now, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Who's that? The Jews. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. And as we said, the Gentiles were to be judged by the law of conscience. Okay, let's back up into Romans 2 a minute. Romans 2 and verse 12. It says, for as many as have sinned without law, who's that? The Gentiles, shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law, the Jew, shall be judged by the law. And also in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I just want you to see the distinction between those who were under the law and those who were not. Gentiles were never under the law. The problem was with Jewish converts who were still connected to the law of Moses. The law of Moses, the ceremonial law of Moses, was nailed to the cross. It was done. 1 Corinthians 9:20, and unto the Jews I became as a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, it's the Jews, that I might gain them that are under the law. Verse 21, to them that are without law, who's that? The Gentiles. As without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. That's the Gentiles. So the whole point of this little exercise is to interpret what Paul is really saying when he says we're not under the law but under grace. Paul was showing the Jewish believers and the seduced Gentiles that we're not saved by the law of Moses with all of its regulation and ritual. We're saved by the grace of God. Amen. And this was Paul's main message to the church in Galatia. As we said, here's a church that's being seduced by Judaizers who are trying to bring them under the blanket of the old covenant, telling them they had to do this in order to be saved. So let's look at some more verses in the book of Galatians. I just want to emphasize these things because, you know, as you travel around, especially in Asia and other places too, but you just see how this message about not being under the law, sin is no longer sin. I mean, it's popular. It attracts the crowds, and they're all feeling very comfortable. This new message of tolerance, God loves you no matter what, unconditional love, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Well, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ except sin. Sin separates. Galatians 5:2. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. If you want to stay under the religion, then the work of Christ really doesn't avail too much. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, the Jew, that he is a debtor to do the whole law with all of its 613 regulations. That law is very particular. For example, you touch a dead carcass of an unclean animal, a pig or something, you're unclean. And then if somebody touches you, they're unclean too. I don't know if you'd want to live in under that kind of regulation, would you? The more regulation you have, the greater chance you have of breaking the law. I prefer to just have the Spirit of God working in my life and to be obedient to the commands of Christ without all of those 613 regulations. I hope you remember that number after I leave here. Verse 4, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. You're fallen from grace. So, okay, if you want to live under the old covenant, then Christ is not going to profit you. If you want to be justified by the works of the law, then it encompasses the whole law, which is very particular on everything. The new covenant does not profit you. If you want to live in under this system, then the new covenant is not going to profit. The new covenant says, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my ways. I don't think we should have to be told, don't throw your garbage on the street. I think that any Christian knows better. You don't throw your garbage out on the street. I don't think you need laws, although the world needs those laws. But in Ezekiel 36, you know, the Lord said that, I will put my Spirit within you, verse 27, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. I'll put my Spirit within you and cause you. That's the true grace, isn't it? I'll put my Spirit within you and cause you. So the law minus Christ doesn't do too much for you. Otherwise, you're earning it by keeping all the regulations. Grace offers forgiveness without works. And Grace enables us to walk in the Spirit and to fulfill the righteousness of the law. Praise the Lord. Grace offers forgiveness without works, no penance. But much of today's message of not being under the law is promoting a message of lawlessness. No, we're not under the law of Moses. We're espoused to Christ, and if we love him, we're going to keep his commandments, which are not grievous to us. There's nothing that Christ commanded that I find grievous to me. Nothing. If we love him, we keep his commandments. But as we said, you know, much of this message, not being under the law, is essentially saying no matter what you do, God loves you so much. The sacrifice of Christ was so great that he's not only absolved you from past sins, but he absolves you from future sins too. Now that kind of doctrine will take you to hell. And it's very popular. You don't even have to repent. Once you initially come to Christ, it's all over. You don't even have to repent again. Well, I'll tell you what. I could probably come up with 613 reasons why that doctrine is error. But it is. Sin is a transgression of the law. We're not under the law, so we can't possibly do anything wrong. True grace enables us to imitate the Master, and his commandments are not grievous. Okay, here's another verse. Let's look at 1 John. 1 John 5, verse 3. 1 John 5, 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. If we love God, then his commandments are our delight. I want to please my Master. I want to please my Heavenly Father. I don't want to displease God. Do you? We want to please our Heavenly Father. So sin is the breaking of the commandments. Righteousness is the keeping of the commandments. It's not too difficult, is it? One noticeable characteristic about the evil one is that he's an anarchist. You know what an anarchist is? We saw plenty of anarchy back in the 60s, right, you senior brethren? An anarchist is anti-law, and that's the evil one. He was a lawbreaker from the beginning. He was a sinner right from the beginning. You study the evil one, he is the antithesis of everything that Christ is about. He is the absolute reverse of Christ. Christ kept his Father's commandments because he loved him. This one was a lawbreaker. Right from the beginning. 1 John 3:8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The devil was a sinner from day one. And not only was the evil one a lawbreaker from the beginning, but his first appearance in the garden, he comes to Adam and Eve in the guise of the serpent. They were quite guileless at the time. They were not suspicious of anything, but here comes the serpent, and the first thing that the serpent says to Adam and Eve is, "Yea, hath God told you that? Why, he knows that you'll become like him if you eat the fruit." The first thing he wants to do is impart his fallen nature, his law-breaking anarchist nature upon mankind, and he succeeded. Man is a sinner because they went for that bait, and we're a sinner because we're born with the nature of Adam. But that was his first appearance. He comes as the one who wants us to break the laws of God. Get man to break the one commandment that was given. And so are the minions of the wicked one as well. Today their message is a message of false grace. We're not under the law, but grace. So, you know, his ministers really don't have to deny the virgin birth, the deity of Christ. They don't have to deny the resurrection or the atonement. All the false minister has to do is preach a message of tolerance and make people feel comfortable about the way that they're living. And, you know, he preaches a message that excuses sin. That's all he has to do. Just get people to continue to practice sin, feel comfortable in that, and he's accomplished his purpose. He doesn't have to come against the blood of Jesus. He doesn't have to do anything like that. All he has to do is get people to feel comfortable about sinning. And with no, you know, penalty. No condemnation. God loves you no matter what. Why his sacrifice was so great? He's forgiven you in advance. That's the kind of lies that the enemy perpetrates. He's a liar from the beginning. He's a father of lusts. He's a murderer. Well, that was the Nicolaitane line. Remember the Nicolaitanes? In Revelation, first century Nicolaitanes, they had all kinds of immoral practices, this group. And when they were ever challenged on the way they were living, you know what their line was? We're not under the law, but grace. That's right. It goes right back to the first century. We're not under law. So I hope we're getting the true interpretation of Romans 6:14b that's been taken way out of context. You know, Paul's emphasis so much is to the Jews who were just having a problem severing from the old covenant. A couple more verses here. Close. 1 John 2:3. 1 John 2:3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. We do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Verse 4, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. This is not the popular message today, but this is the true message, and this is the true grace. And as Jesus said himself in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now let me just give one final verse here. Actually, I haven't got it in front of me, so I have to turn to the book of Revelation, the last chapter. Here's the last chapter. 22 and verse 14, it says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. I hope that we all can fulfill that. Amen. That we keep his commandments, that we can partake again of the tree of life and enter into the city, into that glorious city of heaven. It's to those who keep the commandments of Christ. And, you know, we want to not only get that into our own heart, but as ministers, it's something we really need to emphasize, because you can't believe the delusion that's out there today. And you look at these big churches, that just feed on a message that's false. Now, many of them are there because they haven't heard a true message. When you see people leave a church that has a sound message and go over to that side, you have to interpret that as their tares being removed from the church. But still, the world has to hear the true message. And the greatest revival is coming yet. There's a third of the world, and we're talking thousands of millions that have never really heard the gospel, and many of them that have haven't heard a true version of it. We want to make sure that we're those who give a true version so that people can make an absolute choice left or right. We want to see many come into the kingdom, be saved. Amen.